Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word.
Amen.
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 Good morning. Happy Pentecost.
Good morning.
Have any of you read or seen any of the Harry Potter books or films? Or have some, okay, I see a few nods, or at least have some familiarity due to children in your lives. In the third book, The Prisoner of Azkaban, there is a wonderful scene where Harry is in his Defense Against the Dark Arts class, and his teacher is teaching him about an evil spirit called a boggart. Does any of this ring a bell to anybody? Boggarts are sort of evil beings that you don't really know that they exist except by hearing them. So, for example, if you were in a room in your house with an old closet or wardrobe or a trunk or perhaps a spooky anteroom, you might hear something rattling around in there, bumping up against all the things. And just the noise of something behind a closed door can be enough to make our hearts sort of quicken with fear and anxiety. I don't know if any of you have had that experience of hearing something in your attic that you're not exactly sure what that is. We're praying that's a tree branch. A boggart is, in the Harry Potter book, one of these things that rattles around in a closet, and we don't know the shape of it until you open the door and it appears to the person who has opened the door. And in that moment, it takes the shape of whatever your deepest fear might be. So as I mentioned before, if I opened the anteroom door and a boggart came out, it would likely be a 12-foot tall spider with little hairs all over its body and 100 little spider babies on its back. That would be the shape that my boggart might take. Yours might take a different shape. The idea that J.K. Rowling draws on, I think, is actually a very imaginative and twisted perversion of a deeply held spiritual belief that God, spirit, angels come to us in exactly the shape that we are willing to receive them, or that we are able to receive them. So all through human history, for thousands of years, in many different religious traditions, there are accounts of angels appearing to people in the shape that they can receive them in. When I worked for hospice at the University of Virginia, we were adjacent to the oncology ward. And I can't even tell you the number of times that people would be going through a very difficult time in their healing process or in their dying process. And they would wake up the next morning and say, "I felt so incredibly peaceful all night. That nurse with the long red hair, she seemed to spend all night with me. How does the hospital staff like that? She whispered kind words to me. She took care of all my bodily needs. She sang gently to me. It was just the most amazing experience." And all the rest of us would think, "A nurse with long red hair? There's nobody like that who works on this floor." That happened frequently. Or people have reported, for people who have a sort of more mystical sensibility, they've reported times that they've been in car accidents and have felt a presence, a large white presence around them and protecting them from the fire or whatever might be happening that they need protection from. To one person, an angel may come as a nurse. To another, as a protective force during times of great trouble. But only ever as we are able to receive them. In our Pentecost readings today, this point is driven home to us over and over and over again in the many different ways that we hear the writers in Holy Scripture describing the Spirit. The Spirit comes to us as gentle as a dove. It comes to us in sound. in the feeling of a violent wind, a mighty wind in the King James Version we learned in our Thursday morning group. The Holy Spirit comes as an advocate, as a holy comforter. We're told in the Acts lesson today that young men may have visions, older men may have dreams. As you are able to receive the Spirit into your life, Spirit comes to you. This can be a challenging thing to fully embrace and to accept as a reality in your life. It reminds me a little bit of when I was living down south, and we would, not all that infrequently, have conversations with born-again Christians who would ask me, and I've said this before, have you been saved? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And they would often proceed to tell me about the moment that they were born again. Their Damascus Road experience, where they had this, they were knocked off their horse, this blinding light came into their lives, this dramatic, very palpable sense that, and now I am saved. I had never had that, so I always sort of felt a little awkward in saying, well, I believe in Jesus, but am I saved? Have I had those experiences? I don't know. It can be a little awkward when we're thinking about the power of the Spirit coming into our lives exactly as we can receive it. We might feel humbled. We might feel awkward in claiming, the Spirit came to me today. That seems like it's spiritual boasting in some way. But what all of these lessons are promising us is that the Spirit is coming to you exactly as you can receive her every minute of every day. How will you know if the Spirit is coming to you? How will you know if that feeling of peace that comes to you is of God? If the thrill of your heart when your first goldfinch or Baltimore Oriole or hummingbird comes to your theater is the Spirit, how will you know? In the letter to the Galatians, we're given very clear markers of the fruits of the Spirit. God knows how difficult it is not only for us to open ourselves and to become aware of the Spirit present in our lives, reaching for us every day. God knows that it is hard for us to recognize when that might be. But when we experience love and joy in our lives, when we have a sense of peace, or are managing to be patient no matter what the chaos is that swirls around us, no matter how impatient we are for healing or reconciliation, when we find ourselves able to wait, we know that the Spirit is with us. When we feel particularly kind or gentle with ourselves and the people around us. Now, these two are a little bit more problematic for me. When we have self-control, it can be difficult to know what that looks like for you. But when you have the experience of self-control, faithfulness, again, how do you know that you're being faithful? When you are experiencing any of these things, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control, generosity, I knew I forgot one. When you're feeling particularly able to give freely of yourself, your time, your talents, your treasures, these are markers that God sends into our lives to help us know that we are living in sync with the Spirit, that we are receiving the gift of the Spirit, however she is coming into our lives. Maybe that sense of joy comes to you when you get lost in a piece of music and find yourself 20 minutes later awakening and thinking, oh my heavens, that was absolutely glorious. Or going for a long walk and realizing that it's turned into a super long walk because you were so enjoying exploring the grace of a healthy body moving through space, the gentleness of the air. However the Spirit is coming to you, on Pentecost we are promised that even when we are speechless, when we are paralyzed by grief or pain or suffering of any kind, even when we have no ability to express what our relationship with God feels like in a prayer, even then, the Spirit is within us praying for us with sighs too deep for words. God is constantly available to us in the Spirit. This Pentecost, I hope that you will find some space to reflect on how God comes to you. What are the forms of God's Spirit that you are able to receive at this time in your lives? Sometimes looking back over the course of our days, Ignatius of Loyola teaches us to do this kind of examination of our days every evening. By noticing where you felt peace, joy, love, kindness, faithfulness, by noticing those fruits of the Spirit in your daily lives and realizing, well, you know what, every day when I begin with a walk or I begin sitting and looking at the bird feeder, I tend to be more patient and kind throughout the day. We can begin to notice the fruits of the Spirit, notice how God is coming to us, and then cultivate those habits in our lives so that we can become more and more aware of God present to us. Once we find that place, once we are allowing ourselves to feel so deeply held and supported and loved by God, then mission naturally flows from that place. On Pentecost, we celebrate the birth of the church and the sending forth of the disciples into the world. And it can get really easy to just focus on that, saying, come on, we got to get out there and do good mission. But until we have found our stillness, our profound and radical acceptance and sense of love of God in our lives, until you know how God is coming to you as God's Spirit, to sustain and grace and nurture you every second of every day of your life, that sense of going forth will feel like more of a struggle. So I pray for each of us that we become still and aware of how God is praying through us, how God's Spirit is sustaining us and comforting us, and then ultimately grounded in that knowledge, how we are driven forth to share that love, joy, and peace with all we need. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.